Good afternoon. Once again, Jackson and I are in the studio with our opinions, breaking news, and the hottest topics in sports, high school and collegiate alike. And today, we also have a little information on middle school athletics. Jackson, we got a big day.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, this is going to be a great pick'em section. I mean...
Yes, I'm sorry. Forgot the pick'em section.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be a show without the pick'em show.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And, you know, like, this pick'em section, you know, this is what I look forward to coming in Monday or as soon as we end Friday.
Exactly.
I look forward to it.
I do the – we do the notes, mm-hmm. like, about Wednesday, Thursday-ish. Like, we have a good idea
Maybe
of what we're going to do.
Maybe Friday morning.
It's okay. But that's
o'clock.
Okay. But at least we get them done.
Right.
And we're prepared. We don't really think about school because, you know what? School doesn't matter.
Exactly.
This podcast is
what
matters.
This is what matters. We try to make it to where we bring you the best of the best and – honestly, like, it for us, this is just so much fun because we get to come in here and do this every Friday. I wish it was every day, but there's not.
I know.
We wouldn't have a lot to talk about.
Soon.
Well, hey, but soon. Every day next semester, tune in 91.1 WKCS Knoxville for Jackson Powell and Tommy Sweat.
Oh, yeah, don't miss it. So, We got a big, big slate of just high school sports, college sports, mostly UT. But jumping right into that middle school athletic update, we are located Fulton High School at 2509 North Broadway. Willow Springs Middle School is located on Willow Springs Avenue,
right.
About like probably less than a mile away.
Yeah.
I live like right next to it, close to Willow Springs Golf Course.
Yeah.
The Whittle Springs Warriors, this is the boys' team, they started 6-0 for the first time in school history last night after a win over West Valley. They're number one in the standings out of the 16 teams. Jackson, you know a couple of those players. How do you feel? How long do you think this can go? 6-0, maybe 7-0, 8-0?
I think this team could go all the way, honestly.
I think so, too.
So this is a different team than what I've seen because I went to Whittle Springs my 7th and 8th grade year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this Monday they play the Gladiators, right?
Yes, Gresham.
I was also a Gladiator.
Whoa.
My 6th grade year. I was a Gresham Gladiator, but I'm a Whittle Springs Warrior to heart. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, it's a completely different team. You know, when I talk about my middle school team, we were decent, but we didn't have everything together.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a lot of talent this year. I mean, there's some twins, Taja Minaj out there.
Is their last name Kimber?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
Taja Minaj Kimber, 8th graders. That's the reason I wanted to give you a little update about Whittle Springs because I think they're a little underappreciated.
Yeah.
As far as their classification, I mean, when they're going to graduate, and also just what they're doing over there at Whittle Springs. I mean, 6-0 for the first time in school history. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when I used to play a little bit of rec league back in my day.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Back in my day, you know, I was the big boy on the court. But, you know, I we'd sit and wait for our games, and the younger kids would be playing, and I'd see them two going, and their dad would be their coach.
Mm-hmm.
Their dad's a great coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's very strict, but he's really disciplined.
You can tell he cares about him. I met him a couple times.
Oh, yeah. He knows what he's talking about. Now, them two have been playing basketball. Those are the to them is basketball. Basketball is life. Like I'm telling you, they play basketball day in, day out. Like when you see them, you see basketball, and they're great. I mean, mm-hmm. great, very skilled players. They know how to get in the paint. They know how to find an open lane. They're really good at passing, and they're good at shooting mid range.
Mm-hmm.
Taj especially is a really good mid range shooter. Minaj, he's really good at pulling out and shooting from the three. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're both of them together just is it's like a force that you really just can't deal with.
Yeah, I've been meaning to try to get over there to some of those games. They played West Valley last night. They beat them by 8. I believe it was 45-37. I really just want to see them in person for myself
right.
because they've come to a couple of the football games. They've come to some basketball games. I've said, hey, what's up? But I just want to see them play.
Right.
And I'm not even trying to recruit them right now because we don't recruit over here at Fulton High
we
School.
We don't recruit.
We don't do that over here. But if you want to – I mean, just a little plug for Fulton High School. I mean, Jody Wright. That's all I'm going to say.
Jody Wright.
Three state titles, over 700 wins. Taj and Minaj, if you're listening to this, I don't know if you listen to the radio because, you know, we are millennials.
Yeah.
And radio, like, what is that?
But I will tell you this. Jody Wright is actually the best coach in high school football.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I would put that up against anybody.
Hall of Fame, three three championships. I mean, come on now.
I mean, it really should have been five. Honestly, with the last 2 years, state runner-ups. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you run.
But I will say, last year the basketball team did face a pretty hard opponent.
They were really good.
Yeah, they were really good. Two Oregon commits, or no? It was one Oregon commit
and his little brother.
Yeah,
and they're really
good. They were 9'10".
They were stupid tall.
Oh yeah.
And switching over to the girls' side, Widow Springs, the Lady Warriors, they are 0-5. But if you look at the Widow Springs lineup and you look at this roster, there's a lot of room to improve. I know we say 0-5, and we did chuckle a little bit, but we really did not mean any disrespect.
Right.
Because we've all been there. I mean, I used to play at Karnes. I'm not throwing any shade at Karnes, but there's sometimes where you just don't win. You just don't win some games, and that's okay. And I feel like that's what's happened over at Widow Springs Middle School. I wish we can get in contact with the boys and the girls' coaches. That way we can give a little bit of an interview.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're just talking kind of blindly about this. We're just looking at records. But I would like to sit down with both of the coaches and just talk about their teams a little bit.
Right.
But Widow Springs, they'll play Gresham, the Lady Warriors. Gresham's a good team. Yeah. They're 4-2. Really, really solid basketball team. That's a rivalry. Like you said, it's like Fulton and Central, but mm-hmm. it's Widow Springs and Gresham.
Right.
So what are your thoughts about the Widow Springs Lady Warriors?
The Widow Springs Lady Warriors, you know, they've always been there. You know, when that was the mm-hmm. the team, the basketball team that was good when I was there.
Yeah.
The girls basketball team was good when I was there a couple years ago. They have a great coach over there now. It was a lot of those girls that are playing there now. That's who they played rec league with, mm-hmm. was that coach.
Just a tight-knit group.
It's kind of like if you think about – so I know we don't talk a lot about soccer on this, but Central's – the Lady Bobcat soccer team, mm-hmm. they've all played soccer together under the same –
Yeah, they made it to the state tournament.
All the way under the same coach and everything. That's exactly how these Lady Lady Falcons. These Lady Warriors are.
Soon to be
Lady Falcons. But – I do, like you said, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I mean, you know, 0-5. Okay, the Fulton Falcons, we went 0-5, the football team.
Exactly. Look where we ended up.
And look where we ended up. We were in the playoffs for the 12th consecutive year.
Doesn't matter how you start.
Exactly, because there's always room for improvement. Now, I mean, I do think, you know, I have seen some of the girls play. Defense, they're good at defense.
Scrappy.
They're good at defense. It just, it's the... the capitalizing on the offense, and they, mm-hmm. they'll get good momentum, and then like they won't know how to control that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you know we learn some momentum control and a little bit of you know when to shoot and not so much as just trying to throw the ball up,
mm-hmm.
I think it can go a long way for them Lady Warriors.
Yeah, I think so too. They did run up against the West Valley Lady Wolves, who the West Valley boys 6-1. They're number two as they lost to Widow Springs last night. The West Valley Lady Wolves, they're undefeated at 7-0. So that's a really good basketball team. And sure if you look at their schedule, I think all of their five losses are just solid basketball teams.
Yeah.
And a quick shout-out, if you know, I used to go to Karnes High School, but I did go to Karnes Middle School for my middle school years. The boys team, they're sitting tied for fourth with Farragut at 4-1. The Beavers, they did knock off Northwest last night, 67-38. So, I mean, Karnes, we weren't the greatest basketball team. We didn't win a championship, but we were scrappy, and we got after you, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And then also the Lady Beavers, led by the one and only Paige Ewing. Paige Ewing, if you're listening to this, shout out to you because you got your Lady Beavers at 5-0. Paige Ewing, she used to be at Powell. I've always loved this lady. Like, her basketball teams are disciplined. We actually did get one of her former players. I believe her name is Judy.
Taylor? Judy
yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, I would just
the
like
freshman.
To,
yes.
I would just like to say this right now. If you all heard me and Corbin during the live Jamboree broadcast, you heard her name come up a lot.
She was balling.
Renaja Bailey was at her position last year. She was a post player. Now Taylor's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why they put her there.
Yeah.
I mean, very aggressive in the paint, knows when to use when to use her post moves and when to not. And she's a very, like you said, disciplined player. Mm-hmm. I mean, very disciplined.
For a freshman. That's awesome.
Very disciplined. So, huge shout out to the Karnes Beavers over there for bringing.
Yeah, Paige, thank you.
Thank you so much.
For giving us Judy, because she's a wonder.
Because the way that she played and Our Lady Falcons played against them, Southville Cherokees,
they blew them
Tuesday.
Out. They blew them out.
It was amazing.
So I mean that'll wrap up our standings and our updates on Whittle Springs. We're going to try to focus on just Whittle Springs in general, given that middle school does feed into Fulton High School. So we mean no disrespect. And as the season will wind down, there's a middle school basketball tournament. We will give you the updates in the standings, who plays who, where's it at. We will give you those updates. However, right now we're going to try to focus on the Whittle Springs Warriors and Lady Warriors. And speaking of that, come out and support your Whittle Springs Warriors and Lady Warriors Monday, November 5th, as they host, as Jackson said, the Gresham Gladiators and Lady Gladiators. The girls' game is at 4:30, if my memory serves me correct, and the boys' game will be immediately after. So don't forget to come out Monday, November 25th. Girls' game starts at 4:30, Gresham and Whittle Springs.
Sounds good. I might be there. I might have to be there.
I'm gonna see what's up. Yeah. We play Tuesday.
Right.
They play Monday. So I may come out there too, Jackson. We may have to come out there and do a little scouting report.
Oh yeah. Right. I mean, you know, look at how good Taj Mahomes is doing. You know, maybe get a little pros and cons of both teams, ladies and male. I mean, you never know.
You never know. But you got to see it for yourself.
Right.
And so that'll wrap up our middle school information, and we'll move on to full WKCS. We focus on Fulton High School athletics, also if you're a Fulton High School fan, you're most likely going to be a UT fan. So we've got UT men's basketball. They're ranked number 20 in the country. Tell me you're a UT
fan. Oh, I'm a UT basketball fan.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Football.
But, like, you're some way affiliated with UT.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, my granddad takes me to a lot of the basketball games. I mean, exactly. Basketball is my sport. I love basketball. And then we look at how good they did last year. I mean,
you can't help but be a fan. But speaking of the men's basketball team, they did win Wednesday, November 20th, 76-41 against Alabama State to improve to 4-0. If you look at that box score in that game, the leading scorer was Jordan Bowden with 16 points. And Lamonte Turner, the second leading scorer with 13 points. Both of those players did eclipse 1,000 points for their career. They played on November 20th. If you remember last year, Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams both eclipsed 1,000 points November 21st, the day after. So I thought that was really cool. They put that little update. That would have been really cool if it was exactly a year apart. But tell me a little bit about what you're seeing and what you're hearing from UT men's basketball.
So what I'm seeing, because I haven't been to a game yet, which I want to. I don't know which game. Maybe Florida State. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I will say this: it's looking good. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't like to say Tennessee's a basketball school, but
they're not. We can put that out there. Yeah, they're a football school,
right? But I will say this, their basketball team last year was phenomenal, so they got some big shoes to fill. I mean, you lose two amazing players, mm-hmm. Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield.
And Jordan Bone, the point guard, too. I completely forgot about him.
Exactly. Yes, I mean, you're losing three amazing people who helped carry you all the way.
And they were drafted, too.
Yeah,
so it's not like they're just chopped liver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, they were good in college and then didn't make it. I mean, Grant Williams is supposed to still be with us, but he got drafted.
Yeah, I know. So is Jordan Bone. But, power to him. I mean, we're Vols, wherever you're going to go.
Could have gave us another year.
Yeah, I'm a Celtics fan now because Grant Williams is with the Celtics. I'm with the Celtics.
I've always been a Celtics fan because my mother, shout out to mom, she's the one who I grew up watching the Celtics with, because my mom just loves Boston. She loves the Red Sox. So, I'm not a Red Sox fan, though. Please don't associate me with that.
Bandwagon.
But I will say, I do like the Celtics. I'm not a Red Sox fan.
Well, that's good. Cause we don't have to talk about baseball.
But we don't have to talk about baseball because
it's over.
The way it ended was just awful. But I will say, I'm excited. You know, looking forward into this basketball team, I'm excited. I mean, mm-hmm. we talk about how they did last year. I don't think we should. I think we look now. And mm-hmm. I think with these four games, I mean – with 75 plus points mm-hmm. on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Turner's going to do great this year. I think Fulkerson, I'm really excited to see what he can do.
I love watching him play.
I'm really excited to see what he can do. Jordan Bowden, I'm excited to see him too. And all these new freshmen, you know, I follow Vol Hoops and everything. Mm-hmm. All these new freshmen, they have someone coming in from like Switzerland, I think.
Really?
Like
they got like some dude from Finland.
Yeah, Finland. Their recruiting is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I am excited to see how we do. And me and Tommy were talking about this off air, and we wanted to see the Kansas game, but it's at Kansas.
I know, right?
We would try and figure out that'd some be awesome. Way. We would start a WKCS GoFundMe for Tommy and Jackson.
We'll broadcast it for you.
Oh yeah, we'll broadcast it.
Forget
for you.
The Vol Network.
Oh yeah,
WKCS.
Sorry, Bob Kessling, but Tommy and Bob. Jackson.
We love Bob.
We do, but you know we got to plug the Tommy and Jackson show.
Oh yeah, coming up next month. But we don't have to get into all that. But like you said, Bowden and Turner really going to be your leaders. To probably your leading scores returning, but also some guys that have stood out. Eve Pons, who is it's like he can touch the top of the backboard. Like, yeah. I wish I could jump as high as that dude.
Oh, yeah.
And his three-point shot has evolved. I remember against Murray State where we almost lost our 27 at the time. But, we were about to lose. Like, we were dead in the water. Eve Pons hits about 3-4 threes, keeps us afloat, and then Bowden catches fire. Turner has 14 assists, no turnovers. Eve Pons is really he's gonna be the key.
Oh yeah,
along with Bowden and Turner.
And like you said, Bowden caught on fire. Love to see when a player's just they're iced up a little bit, but then they get in their groove and they get in their rhythm, and then they get heated up. I mean, we saw Grant Williams when he got heated up. That boy right there was unstoppable.
He couldn't stop.
I mean, because he's muscular and he could shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking at Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden and John, I love his last name, Fulkerson. I mean,
Kingsport native.
Yes. I mean, there's so much good that could come out of this. I mean, I think it's great. And then, their average score 77.8 points per game and 40.3 rebounds per game.
You're gonna win some games
yeah. with that. I mean, and then you get 19.3 assists per game. That right there just is some 2K numbers. Like some
that's really good.
That's good. And I think, that just it blows my mind because you think of how good UT is. I'm a basketball person in the first place, and so then now I can watch my state do good. So I'm excited. I'm really excited.
And if you were on the fence about cheering for the Vols, if you're a Knoxville native, you can't help but cheer for the Vols when you hear that Drew Pember.
Oh yeah,
the Bearden High School legend, along with Quez Glover and Trent Stephanie, also D1 prospects, led Bearden to their first ever state title. Drew Pember, I remember watching that game on my Chromebook, my school-assigned Chromebook, and they were blowing him out. It was Alabama State. But you know what? He got in the game. He had 8 points and 5 rebounds in probably about like a 6-minute span. So, and I remember I'd never even talked to Drew in my life. But I tell you, it was like we were best friends. It was like we grew up together.
Oh, yeah.
And we've known each other.
That moment.
Yes. And I was like, because I'd seen him play. I'd actually played against him at Carnes. I wish we would have played against him last year. Like, we were scheduled to play him, got canceled. That would have been an awesome game.
Probably would have beat him, but it's okay.
That's one where I really don't know because they were
real. Oh, yeah, that could have went either way.
They were real.
Yeah.
I mean, Quez Glover, who's also at Florida, they play a little bit later on in the season. Florida and Tennessee. Florida has struggled a little bit, but you got to believe that with a guy like Quez Glover, they're going to get it back into gear. And I'm pretty sure they do play at Thompson Bowling, so I'm definitely going to be there for that Florida Tennessee matchup. And don't forget to come out Monday, November 25th. If you're not going to the Whittle Springs basketball game, go to the UT men's basketball game as they play UT Chattanooga. If you remember former Grace Christian star Grant Ledford, who could just fill it up. He's got – if you don't know, I got a buzz cut. He's a former buzz cut lad of mine. And he could just fill it up. I remember watching him in the AAU circuit. He played for the free agents. And then for Grace, I remember at Oak Hill, he lit those guys up. So he's no sleeper. And neither is UT Chattanooga. It's going to be a wonderful game. So don't forget to come out November 25th and support your men's basketball team. Moving on to the Lady Vols. The number 23-ranked Lady Vols defeated Stetson Tuesday, November 19th. We're a little bit behind on this one, but we're doing this every Friday, so it's not going to be really breaking news. But they are 5-0. They're ranked number 23rd, like I said before. And if you remember November 11th, a couple weeks ago, they played Notre Dame, number 15 Notre Dame on ESPNU. They beat them, ESPN2, they beat them 74-63. I believe Notre Dame was the Lady Fighting Irish were in the Final Four last year. If you're beating number 15 Notre Dame at Notre Dame with a first-year head coach who has, I mean, she's been at, she's coached at other places, but she has not coached at the SEC, and they're 5-0. That excites me because not only are your boys and girls ranked in the top 25, but you're undefeated. Like, I love whenever when they're both winning.
And from what I'm looking at, it says that they're first in the Southeast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Lady Vols have always been something, you know, under Pat Summitt. They were amazing. Pat Summitt just a hard role to fill. You know, Pat Summitt is just, you hear the name, Pat Summitt. I mean, amazing woman, great coach, amazing coach. I mean, probably, and you asked me, but I'm a Vol Lady Vols person. Probably one of the best women's basketball coaches in the nation, was.
No doubt. And there's a guy at UConn, Gino Auriemma. He's probably, I mean, he's up there with him. But as far as just like culture, year in, year out, I saw something. The Lady Vols did not start out this season ranked. That was the first time they hadn't been ranked in the top 25 preseason since 1976.
That's crazy.
That's all because of Pat Summitt right there. So that just goes to show you how dominant they were under Pat Summitt.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, to beat a Notre Dame team is just crazy. I mean, you know, we were talking about it. Me and my grandfather, we were talking about it. That's just crazy. I mean, Notre Dame is a pretty good team, but 74-63, that's pretty good for basketball.
That's really good for, I mean, on the road, beaten team by double digits, Raniah Davis. I'm pretty sure she's the Lady Vols' leading scorer. She had 33 points. That's a career high, or ties her career high.
Oh, yeah.
So there's so many bright spots on that team. Massengale, I remember her sister played back with Pat. She was phenomenal to watch, and I was so captivated by Pat's teams. This is going to be another team that I'm going to, if I see that they're playing, I'm going to try to find a way to watch them play, because that's just who they are. And I mentioned before, Kelly Harper is a first-year Tennessee head coach. However, this is not her first year at UT. She did play as a Lady Vol from 1995 to 1999. During that time, her teams went 131-17. They won 131 games, lost 17 games. They won three straight national titles. She scored 894 points, 452 assists. She knows a thing or two about winning.
Oh, yeah.
Also, at Missouri State, she went 118-79 at Missouri State. She was the 2019 K-Yao. That's the name of the award. I'm not just saying like a different language. But she was the 2019 K-Yao Coach of the Year. She was the 2019 OVC Coach of the Year. She's won the Ohio Valley Conference two times, 2016 to 2019, and she did lead the Missouri State, I believe they're the Bears. I'm not really sure. I should have looked that up, but they led them to the Sweet 16. Missouri State to the Sweet 16. Like, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Missouri State is a great team. I mean, we talk about the Sweet 16, though. It's like an honor, pretty much. You make it to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of the biggest things in college basketball for ladies and boys basketball. I mean, you know, last year we made it to the Sweet 16, and I about jumped out my seat when I heard.
Exactly. You beat Iowa. I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was great. But, you know, kind of like with Whittles, I am ecstatic to see how this Lady Vols team is going to do and how this men's Vol basketball team is going to do. I think we're going to go far, and I think we're going to do just as good as we did last year in both teams.
No doubt about it. So those are our updates on the men's basketball team and the women's basketball team. And this will be our last UT update. UT football, they're 5-5. They're third in the SEC East behind Georgia and Florida, two amazing teams.
Oh, yeah.
They started 0-2, lost to Georgia State and BYU. Everybody threw in the towel. I remember I went to that BYU game. They had them beat, lost in overtime. And everybody was like,
I was there.
I was there too, and I was like, "This is the end. They're going to get rid of Pruitt. We're going to be. I mean, this is going to be a cycle."
Oh yeah. We thought exactly. We were talking about that. It's how we thought it was just going to be a cycle. Like, you know, we're going to have Pruitt. Pruitt's actually a decent coach. We get Pruitt, and then we're going to have him for maybe two more years. Throw him out.
Right.
That's
just how it is.
Just how it is over at the UT Athletics. But I will say, you know, scoring 23.9 points a game, it's not bad, but I do think UT could do like a little bit better, but with first downs on rushing, you know, they've got 72. I will say this: UT has surprised me these past couple games. I mean, that South Carolina game surprised me.
I was blown away.
Now, me and Tommy, we like to say this a lot: South Carolina beat Georgia, so that means Tennessee beat Georgia.
True statement.
So
Georgia beat Florida,
so we're basically the Gators. We're basically. Basically, we're better than LSU.
We're in the playoff. We're better than Ohio State.
Oh, LSU. I don't know if
for if that's true.
Just kidding.
Ed O'Dwine of LAU Tiger, we're going better than UT.
Go Tiger.
You know who, Corbin can do it a lot better than me. I can't really do it. But Corbin gets the whole get up. I mean, he has LSU
the Bayou
polo, and he gets into it. I mean, he'll get in there. What are you digging at me? I mean,
that's pretty good. I like to hear Corbin's. Oh, that would I
Corbin's
like to hear,
is
that's
great.
Pretty good.
I mean, he'll get in there. He'll say, LU Tiger, we're the best Tiger. We're better than the Clemson Tiger. LU number one. Go LU. Like,
and, yeah, and you always got to say go Tigers.
Yeah,
at the end
go
of,
Tiger.
At the,
oh, yeah.
At the end of every year.
Go Tiger. You know, no matter what you're talking about, we could be talking about Fulton football, and then you're like, he's like, nothing about the LSU Tigers. Mm-hmm. And it could be about golf or something. Go Tigers. Just immediately.
Exactly.
But he's a great coach. So I'll
he's really turned his career around. If you remember, he was at Ole Miss. They were god awful.
Oh, yeah. I will say this. I do think LSU will be a good team for maybe another year, mm-hmm. and then Alabama's back on top.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Because Nick Saban is just amazing.
He's the GOAT.
He is the college football coach. Best college football. I'll say it. I don't care. He's the best college football coach. Nick Saban is amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, you know, UT football, I think we're decent this year. You know, we're not as good as we want to be, but we're okay.
They've gone 5-2 since that, or 5-3 since that 0-2 start.
Oh yeah.
But when you look at it, they were in the same position last year. They were 5-5 going into the last two game stretch against Missouri and Vanderbilt. They got blown out both of those games, and they miss bowl eligibility. 5-5 again last two games, Mizzou and Vandy. I think they're going to win both of them. Just because, I mean, I'm a UT fan, I'm biased. They traveled to Missouri to play the former Clemson quarterback, Kelly Bryant. Their defense has been playing phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be 7-5. They're going to make the Music City Bowl or the Belk Bowl, and we're gonna win that one. We're going to go 8-5. Pruitt is going to be here for like 3-4 years. I'm calling it.
So I'm going to say this because just a little disclaimer. I know there's so many different opinions about how you say his name. So I'm going to – sorry if I butcher it. Jared Garantano.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
But people say it's Garantano, and
no,
people. No. Well, that's how Kessling calls it. Is Garantano?
Well, Kessling doesn't know. I'm just kidding.
He doesn't.
I'm just kidding, Bob.
we're just kidding. But I will say this: he has 27 starts and 30 appearances. I mean, he was on a rocky start. Mm-hmm. Honestly, you know, it's Mauer power all the way for me, pretty much. The beginning. And
then he can finish a game?
Yeah. I mean, he has 29 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He has a Tennessee record for consecutive passes without an interception in 2018. So he's doing better, but I think once we get Mauer to really work on staying in a full game, mm-hmm. and, you know, we get him some more experience, I think he will be the starting quarterback next semester or next year, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, I really don't. I'm not saying I necessarily disagree or agree with you, but if I remember correctly, Garantano's the reason that we won against Kentucky. Like, he came in second half and just balled out.
And that's what I'm saying. Garantano mm-hmm. is like he's like a wild card.
You know, yeah, you don't really know what
it's
you're gonna
like
get.
Kind of like Sal Dole.
Yep.
You don't know what you're gonna get. Honestly, you get a Seymour team. You get the one who lost to Seymour,
or they beat Central by 28 and end of their streak.
Exactly. I mean, or because you never know. So, but I do say he was on fire that Kentucky game. I guess it just depends on what kind of mood he's in.
Right, like what he eats before the game.
Yeah, make sure he's eating the same thing. Like, make sure he gets his beans and cabbage or whatever.
Yeah, his
he
fruity eats. Pebbles or yeah. or whatever.
Honestly, but. Yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to this here next game, Tennessee at Missouri. I'm excited for that. So, but yeah, Tommy.
Oh, sorry,
buddy.
I was trying to look up the.
Good.
I was trying to look up like when they played and just to tell you to tune in. But they do play them Saturday. It's at Missouri. Don't kill me for not telling you what time it is, but I'm sure you can look up on the ESPN app and figure that out.
Yeah.
But we're gonna take a quick break here. We've talked for about 30 minutes for probably just, I mean, you're probably asleep right now, like we were, but
it's okay. The fun stuff will be in the next two sections.
Exactly. We've got our pick'em, but before that, we've also got some updates on boys and girls Fulton basketball.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Get you a quick sip of sweet tea, some mm-hmm. coffee, and we'll be right back.
What do basketball, choir, drama club, and marching band all have in common? They're all high school activities that offer learning opportunities not necessarily found in the classroom. They take up just a fraction of a typical Tennessee high school's budget, and they go a long way to giving young people the tools they need to thrive. High school activities, they're more than extracurricular. They're extra important, too. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Welcome back to 91.1 WKCS-FM. And as we told you before the break, we've got Fulton High School girls basketball and Fulton High School boys basketball. The girls basketball team, they did, before the Jamboree on Tuesday night, November 19th, they lost. They had a game against Powell. They lost 67-44. Powell is really good, though. Former Fulton coach Chad Fisher, not Chad Fisher, some Fisher. I forgot his name. I'm not going to butcher his name. I'm sorry, Mr. Fisher. You got a good team over there at Powell. They have these two sisters. I think it's like Bailey Trum and somebody else. Like they're twins. The Trums.
Yeah.
I think one's committed to like Appy State. I know some other girls that go over there that are just they're solid players. So I look at the 67-44 loss. It didn't really concern me,
right.
Especially first game of the season at Powell. They got room to improve. And then you look at the Jamboree, which you were there. You and Corbin were there. They
yes,
beat
we
South.
Were.
They twaxed South Boyle in two quarters, 27-10. What did you see up there from your Hawkeye point of view?
So from what we were looking at, South Boyle had this one player, Sano. I can't remember her first name, but she was just like you. She was like you like to say scrappy.
Yeah.
But like I'll say this though, she knew how to get in. Like, get open. Like, she knew how to get herself a lane. Mm-hmm. She made lanes, and it worked. I mean, she – honestly, you ask me, she carried that team.
Yeah.
She's in and out, I mean, making points. Her momentum is great. But the Falcons, our Lady Falcons, you know, we talk about Taylor. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of her first name.
Taylor. Judy?
Judy. Judy Taylor. She is now a post player for us. Renasha Bailey was there, but now Renasha Bailey is at a small forward.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she just completely changed the way we were down in the
They couldn't
the
box
paint.
Her out.
They couldn't.
She got so many rebounds.
And then we've got Renasha Gates, who's just my height.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I will say this. I would like to see a little bit more aggression from her. You know, because with her being just so tall and, you know.
Physical,
there's so much room to be more aggressive.
I mean,
honestly. But I will say this. Jamia Simmons on fire.
Stroking.
I mean,
she could,
it was wet ball the whole time.
It's that form you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's that form. I mean, I'm telling you. But I will say, we got turnover after turnover
game problems. Yeah,
we were just going at them, and we were coming at them hard.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing is we knew how to control that momentum that I haven't seen that girls team been able to control in a while.
Yeah,
and Tyler, he has a great team over there now. You know, I cannot wait to see what they do. Honestly.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, they got a great chance to prove themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Monday, November 25th, if you're not going to the Whittle Springs basketball game or the UT men's basketball game, you can head on over to Farragut High School and watch our Lady Falcons take on the Farragut Lady Admirals, who if you don't know anything, if you've just been under a rock and haven't heard anything about Farragut Lady Admiral basketball, they're really good.
Yeah.
They are going to get after you. They can shoot the lights out, and they're fat. Like, they're everything that you want to be in a basketball team, Farragut has it.
Right.
Fulton has a great chance to prove themselves against the Lady Admirals, and I'm excited to see it because Tyler, I love watching Tyler coach.
Oh,
because he yells at everything. He's so loud. He's literally got a Mountain Dew in his hand like at all times. It's awesome. Like it's awesome.
He's a very energetic coach, and I will say this: Tyler has so much love for his players.
No doubt.
I mean, like,
it's awesome to watch.
It is. I mean, and here's the thing is you could see, like, last year, you know, they'd lose a game and the players, they'd get their heads down. But Tyler, he'd just be like, it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Because, look, I know we're better. It's just simple mistakes. You know, I was the bookkeeper for a couple of their games.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it really was just, like, turnovers. That's all that killed them because they were good on defense, good on offense, just the momentum control. And I will preach that a lot. If you can run down the court and know when to stop and know when to press and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have good momentum control. And I will preach that like Jody Wright preaches defense.
No doubt.
But this Lady Falcons team, I am so excited to see what we've got going on. Because, you know, with Tyler being such a great coach and him being like you know, one step right behind them the whole way. I can't wait to see what they're going to do, Tommy.
Big things in store for the Lady Falcons and also for the boys. The boys and the girls played November 19th at the Jamboree at Carnes High School. The boys and the girls both played South Doyle. Our boys beat South Doyle 28-23 in the Jamboree, and they did that without their top leading scorer, Edward Lacey, who was held out due to a back injury. I was really surprised. His back injury is doing better. He's back on the court. He's back practicing.
That's good. I didn't know that. A lot of people were confused. You know, me and Corbin, we didn't know what was going on when we saw him not playing. But glad to know that he's getting back and, you know, healthy with a back injury. You know, it's to see how good we did without Edward.
That's what I was about to say. Like that's promising.
I mean, you know, there was one player who I wanted to keep my eyes on the whole time, and it was Adam.
He's a beast.
That boy right there is big. Now, he's kind of with the same situation with Renaja Gates with me.
Yeah,
he's so tall. He's a big boy. He's got strength. I just want to see him a little more aggressive in that paint.
Yeah,
I mean, he was going for the rebounds and going for the rebounds.
He's a little hesitant to shoot it.
He is. That's what I'm saying. But I think if he just power dribble and then put it up, it'd be okay. Now, there was two other players I was just so happy to see. One, I'll start out with Damon Holt. You know,
he can fill it up.
He can. This is his first time in a varsity game.
Mm-hmm.
He was junior varsity last year, and I'll tell you, it's kind of like football. You know, we had to throw some of our underclassmen into the fire to see how good they were. Marcellus Jackson, Chenault. We saw how good they did.
Mm-hmm.
We threw Damon Holt in that fire on the Jamboree. We saw how good he did, and boy, did he perform.
Mm-hmm.
He performed. He executed. He knows how to shoot. He knows. He's aggressive in the paint.
For a guy who hasn't played varsity, he's got the confidence to be there, and that'll just get better.
Well, and then you look at who they played. Kendrick Holland.
That dude's a beast.
He's a beast, and he's so fast. Like, I don't think I can't express how fast he is until you watch him. I mean, there was a play I was watching at the game where the ball was going down court, like to the South Dole side, and he just booked it down there and scored. Like, I mean, Dominique Holland was right behind him, though, but I will say, Kendrick Holland is fast. They've got Quentin Carr, who's really he's a
rising sophomore. He can fill it up too. He's got that hair, so you know who he is. He's got a huge head of hair, ladies and gentlemen. But he can fill it up.
I mean, but he's great. And then the other player from Fulton that I really want to point out that did amazing in my opinion is Jaden Jenkins.
He can shoot the skin off of it.
I mean, I'm telling you, you wouldn't think he could shoot. You think he was a post player. He was mainly like a layup player.
He's a physical dude. But he can shoot
We talked about him at the PAL JV game that we called.
Yep.
He has a low center of gravity. Very, very strong, strong kid. And I will say this, that kid can throw some threes up. I mean, he was just – he made 3 3-pointers out of I think it was 5.
Mm-hmm.
So he was 3 out of 5. And honestly, that was great for a Jamboree. And just he was so strong, and he'd come up and he knew how to find, like, he got open immediately. And then honestly, like, Jaden Jenkins, I heard that name, you know, we called that name so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's what I'm really excited for, you know, coming into the mid-January, is for our one and only Tommy Sweat to hopefully come back. I cannot wait to see how Tommy does, because last year we look at, you know, not to toot his own horn, but we looked at him last year. He was an aggressive player. He got in the middle. He was a really good defensive player. Tommy, you really were. You were a really good defensive player. And here's one thing I saw that I loved. You and Edward Lacey knew how to work off of each other, because he was the offensive player and you were the defensive player. You set amazing screens and he just goes up with it.
I mean, that's what you do with a guy like Edward Lacey. I don't know who you're talking about.
This Tommy Sweat guy.
This Thomas kind of crazy.
Sweat guy who's in here with me right now. But, you know, I think we have a great team, boys basketball wise.
We do.
But I will say this, Adam, I want to go back to him real quick. He has some big shoes to fill. Deshaun Page, it's Deshaun Page.
Mr. Football. I hated going up against him in practice.
He's so aggressive. He's strong. He can shoot. And I'm telling you, if you catch him in the paint, it's over. And that's how I want Adam to be. I want him to be aggressive, and I want people to be afraid of him in practice, like Tommy just said he was a Page. I want that because he can do it.
He's got the same build as Paige. He's probably a little bit taller.
He's a little bit taller than Paige. But Paige honestly.
He's just all muscle.
Paige is just pure, like, he is 0.1% body fat.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Yeah. Especially now he's in college and he's got, like.
Right. But I will say this. I am just ecstatic to see how Fulton, the basketball team, executes and how they perform coming into this season, and I think it's going to be a great season looking how we did against South Doyle. And South Doyle's actually a pretty good competitor because you look at who they have.
They do.
But Tommy, buddy, what about you, buddy? What do you think?
Well, I was watching from the bench, and I was the same thing that you're saying. We shot the ball very well, but this is the Jody Wright and me. We didn't defend very well, but, I mean, it was the Jamboree. And I know that'll come because Coach Wright is known for just –
Yeah.
I mean, I came here over from Carnes. I couldn't guard like a parked car. Like, that's how bad I was at defense. I couldn't guard my grandmother, ladies and gentlemen. But if you look at the film, the state tournament postseason, I mean, I could actually sit down and I could stay with you. You know,
right.
So, and that's just what he does, Coach Wright.
And so I have just been pointing good things out about the Falcons. So I want to say one bad thing because Corbin made us he told me, you know, pick a pros and a cons.
Mm-hmm.
I think the cons is passing. We, you know, I feel like we at the Jamboree we passed in lanes that weren't open,
mm-hmm.
and I think if we can work on passing a little bit, you know, because that's what gave them turnovers, which made the score to be so as close as it was.
And you get Kendrick out there in exactly. open space, man. He had so many runouts.
Exactly. So I think, you know, if the pass isn't there, don't try to force the pass.
Right.
I think that really is the only thing that I have to say, and defense can improve a little bit, but
yeah.
Knowing Jody Wright, he preaches defense. He lives and breathes defense. It's on the back of their
it's on their bosoms.
Yeah, it's on their bosoms. I mean,
their pants.
Honestly, he preaches defense, and so I think it's only up from here.
No doubt about it. They open up their season November 26th at the same tournament the girls are playing in, the Farragut Thanksgiving tournament. That game will start at 8:45, and they play Campbell County, the Cougars. That's going to be a great game because Campbell County's got some – they got some backwood guys that can just throw it up, and it'll go in the basket. So I'm excited to see how we'll do.
Got better mullets than I've got going on right now.
They do, but we'll catch up to them.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. Catch me on our morning show, and I'll talk about it next semester.
Next semester, morning show.
Morning show, 8:45.
But anyway, the moment you've all been waiting for, you're sitting here. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you're waiting on. You're waiting on this pick'em section.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got the statistics. Okay, round two was last week. We've picked 47 games from week 9 to round 2.
47 games.
Last week, we picked 12 games. Huge games.
Huge slate, as Tommy likes to say.
If you remember, I was 21, and I believe, like, I was 21 and 17.
Yeah.
Jackson was 18 and 17.
I was behind.
He was. I wasn't going to rub it in his face because I knew that, like. I
mean, but he did. He did.
But I did sort of.
Once we stopped recording, he did.
But I did sort of. But that's okay because now, like, I have no room to talk because I went I went 6-6 last week. And Jackson, go ahead and tell him what
your
you
boy
went.
Jackson went 9-3.
9-3.
It's just that sports analysis in me. You know, I know how to call the games. But I will say this: last week's games were just they were kind of one sided.
Yeah.
There was a few that weren't really. But Tommy had some good calls. It's just. It you know, sometimes it just comes down to, like, the wire, really, on some of those games, mm-hmm. you know, because you never know. And I think we've got a bunch. This entire slate that we have could go either way.
Yeah. This is going to be – I mean, I could go 0-12.
And he
could go 12-0. Like, this
we could go
be,
6-6. Like, it could go either way.
This is going to be we're going to go all the way to the state championship, but this is going to be a key round. Round three is going to be where – somebody's going to get separated or will stay the same. Like this is going to be huge. So kicking it off right here, we got the Austin East Roadrunners. They're 9-3. They traveled to Alcoa. The Roadrunners are riding a 7-game winning streak.
The Austin East Road.
I'm so sorry.
We need Mason's. we need his little
I'm
horn.
So sorry. I'm so
we
sorry.
Need his
they've,
horn.
They've won 7 games since they lost to the
Battle of the Birds.
The defending state champs in Greenville. Trey Foster has been on an absolute tear, but he was not selected for the Mr. Football finalist. He will be facing a Mr. Football finalist in Alcoa's Gray Carroll. this defense, led by Greg Carroll, has been absolutely dominant. Since losing to Maryville 17-3, the Tornadoes have only given up 12 points over the last eight games. That's 1.5 points a game, and their offense is averaging well over 50. They blanked AE in week two, 42-0. I think Trey Foster gets a TD, but Alcoa wins big against the Roadrunners.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm right there with you, Tommy. I have some tears going down my face right now. The whole time Tommy was talking, I had my head down laughing.
Oh my God.
But Austin East, you know, it's just, you know, it's Alcoa. I mean, Alcoa barely lost to Maryville. I mean, they honestly just, there's no way Austin East. I'd say Trey Foster might get close to a touchdown. You know, but Trey Foster, that's a beast. You know, we saw him at the Fulton AE game. But I will say that Trey Foster, he's something. I mean, that's a big boy. You know, for him being as big as he is and him being a quarterback, that is just – that's great. But I will say they lost Alcoa 42-0. I think it's going to be a repeat, maybe even higher. So,
yeah. Austin East. Give us both the Tornadoes dominating Austin East. But our second game, we're moving into the Class 1A division. Oliver Springs, 10-2. The Bobcats, they travel to Greenback, 10-2. The Cherokees. Oliver Springs was absolutely just clobbered by the Cherokees in Week 5. They lost 50-0. Yeah. Since then, they've won 7 in a row, and they've dominated some of those teams. We had the Greenback Cherokees last week against Colfield, and they handled the mm-hmm. Yellow Jackets by about 40.
Yeah.
And much like Oliver Springs, they dominated every minute of or every round of their first two games in the playoffs. They're running a 10-game winning streak. They lost their first two games. They've won 10 in a row. Next week, they're not looking forward to next week, but next week they will have to play probably South Pittsburgh, who is just phenomenal. What a game. Oh, yeah. But I think Greenback is going to – I think they'll clobber. I think Oliver Springs will get a touchdown or two, but Cherokee's big.
Yeah. You know, some of these games are one-sided, and I'm kind of right there with you, Tommy. I'm Greenback. I think it's going to put it on Oliver Springs just like they did. You know, we look at Oliver Springs beat Jellicoe round one, 42-6. In round two, they beat Cloudland, 29-0. And then Greenback just beating, I don't know how to say that. Unicoi. Okay, I don't know. In round one, 51-6, and then beat Colfield, 56-16. I mean, they're putting these high numbers up mm-hmm. in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Greenback again. I'm right there with you, Tommy, on this Greenback. I do think Oliver Springs might get a touchdown, but I think Greenback's just going to be too much for him.
No doubt. Moving up to 2A, Oneida, 8-4, travels to Meigs County. I don't want to say Oneida's been up and down because the four teams that they've lost to have been very, very good. Greenback, we talked about it. They're 10-2.
Yeah.
Upperman lost last week to 3A to Red Bank. Red Bank's really good. We'll have them later on against Loudoun. Meigs County, this is the team they've played, and Colfield. Maybe they've surprised some people getting to this quarterfinal, but they run into Meigs County, who's on a 5-game winning streak. After their only loss was to South Pittsburgh, who's undefeated. They're 1A. They're really good. We're going to have them next week, hopefully. Meigs County did win. They beat out Oneida pretty handily. I believe it was about 24-3. Exactly. So I think it's going to be about the same result. Oneida may get a touchdown, but Meigs County – they're ready for this game. Give me Meigs County by about 3-4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Tommy. You know, 24-3, that's a pretty handily beat right there. They also beat Meigs County beat Greenback 27-20. I thought that was a pretty good deal right there.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about how decent Greenback is. Round one they beat Happy Valley 41-6. Round two they beat South Green 39-7. I mean, just throwing up some decently big numbers.
Right.
But I do think I think it's gonna be not as close. Like I think it'll be 24-3. I think it might be like 40-3, maybe.
I think Meigs County is gonna come out. They're gonna dominate some fools. Oh, not a great season. They get to the quarterfinals after they really surprised some people. I'm not
quarterfinals. Quarterfinal is still just a big, you know, it's accomplishment.
Exactly. And great season, Tony Lambert. Great football team. I know some guys over there at Oneida played basketball with them. Heck of a season to you all. But I'm sorry to say it, Meeks County is just going to be too much tonight. Yeah. So we're going to jump all the way up to 6A, Maryville, 12-0. They're on the road this week, Jackson. Mm. And it's not because that Dobbins Bennett is a higher seed. They're both ranked one seeds. However, they TSSAA just they rotate who gets home field when it's 1v1. Right. So they're 12-0. Their last two games they've beaten teams. I believe it was Science Hill and Farragut. They beat them both 42-0. If you remember, Science Hill beat Dobbins Bennett shook up that whole region. Dobbins Bennett started 8-0. They lost two in a row to Science Hill, Alcoa. Great teams. But they've won their last two. William Blunt and Bearden, to the surprise of me and you, because we both picked Bearden. Mm-hmm. Dobbins Bennett, I think they'll score a touchdown. This is going to be the first touchdown that Maryville gives up in the playoffs. But Maryville is just going to be way too much for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can't really bet against Maryville, even if they're playing a team in Texas. I mean, Maryville is Maryville. They can go. We've said it time in, time out. Maryville can go in any region, any class, any division, and dominate. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can. You know, the fact that they barely beat Alcoa kind of blows my mind just a little bit. But Dobbins Bennett lost to Science Hill. Maryville smacked Science Hill 42-0.
Allowed 52 yards. Crazy.
I mean, literally. And beat them in round one, then round two smacked Farragut 42-0.
Another solid team who beat Science Hill.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
So, and then Dobbins Bennett lost to Alcoa 21-6. We talked about Dobbins Bennett mid-season, how we thought Dobbins Bennett's going to be a great team, but no team can really match up with Maryville.
Exactly. And Maryville, we mentioned last year, they met Oakland in the semifinals of the playoffs. Oakland smacked them 38-0. Yeah. The Maryville Rebels did not have T. Hodge. He did break his leg. He will be back, barring an injury tonight. We're not wishing that on anybody because T. Hodge is a phenomenal player. UT commit.
Phenomenal.
I think they'll roll past Dobbins Bennett, and they're ready for Oakland next week. We also have Oakland on this pick 'em section a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But like we said, Maryville is – they're on a road to revenge against the Oakland Patriots. And they'll – barring Oakland takes care of business, we know Maryville's going to take care of business. They're going to meet for the second year in a row in the semifinals. So moving on, we're going to stay in 6A, but we're going to go over to the Memphis area. We have Memphis-Whitehaven. They travel to Houston. Whitehaven is 10-1. Houston Mustangs, they are 12-0. Of their 12 games – only five of those teams have been over 500. That's kind of the story of both of these teams. They've played a lot of games. They've won a lot of games. But the quality of teams that they're playing, I don't think they're as good as some of the teams that Maryville has played. Now, I will say this. They do have a Mr. Football finalist in Lincoln Pear who has 2,522 rushing yards and 35 total TDs. He will be facing the second of the three Mr. Football finalist for 6A. His name's Bryson Eason. He's a commitment to Tennessee, along with their entire linebacker core. They all committed to Tennessee. Like I said, with Houston, they've won 10 games. Two of them have been against 500 or better teams. Bryson Eason and that linebacking core is going to be tasked with the difficult challenge of trying to stop Lincoln Pear, two Mr. Football finalists going up against each other on each side of the ball. I really don't know who to pick in this one, Jackson. Do you have any information on these two?
So I've got who they, you know, Houston round one beat Germantown 56-12. Round two beat White Station 55-20, and then Whitehaven round one, or actually Whitehaven lost to Brentwood Academy 17-14. Brentwood Academy,
four-time defending state champs, but they did miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean.
Exactly.
But I will say this, 17-14, that's a pretty close right there.
Yeah.
But round one, they beat Cordova 50-8. Round two, they beat Memphis Central 13-0. I don't know a lot about these two teams, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those instances where it could go either way. So I'm going to pick Houston here.
I wish I had a coin so I could flip it. I really don't know. I remember the only reason I'm going to pick Whitehaven in this is because I remember they were at the state title or that they were at the state tournament game, state championship tournament last year in basketball. They lost to Bearden. That's the only reason I'm going to pick them is because I've seen them play in person. I haven't seen Houston play in person, and I think Whitehaven is just going to be They got so many athletes. They beat Maryville a couple years ago. I know none of those teams are on this team now, but I'm pretty sure this is the same head coach. I think Whitehaven is going to pull this one out against the Houston Mustangs. And so we'll travel from Memphis to Nashville, and we got the Battle of the Woods. We got Ravenwood, 11-1 at Brentwood, the Bruins versus the Raptors. Ravenwood's only loss came to the Bruins in week 5, 21-14. However, they've rattled off 7 in a row. They've averaged 38.5 points a game, and their defense has only they haven't given up a touchdown a game at 6.1 points per game. Brentwood has had 2 losses to a very, very solid, along with Powell, the 5A favorite, Henry County, 21-14, and then they lost to Knoxville's own Catholic, 31-13, a couple weeks ago. This Raptors team, they're going to be out for blood against Brentwood. They lost by 9. They've been rolling in the playoffs. They also have this. They have a Division I prospect who's got like offers from Alabama, UT. His name's Reggie Grimes. He's going to be the X factor this week against Brentwood, and I think Ravenwood avenges that loss against Brentwood. Give me the Ravenwood Raptors in the Battle of the Woods.
Tommy, you kind of said it the way I wanted to. I will say I was going to pick Ravenwood. I think I'm probably still going to. I mean, I think Ravenwood's going to come back, you know, with the Battle of the Woods the first time. You know, I think there might have just been like a fluke or something going on.
It was at Brentwood.
Right, which we've talked about. A home field advantage is a big thing.
Exactly. And so it's at Brentwood again, so you're like, why aren't you picking Brentwood? But I just got a feeling about Ravenwood.
Right. I mean, but that's the thing is, I do think that Ravenwood is going to win. You know, round one, they beat Stewart's Creek 35-0. Round two, they beat Cane Ridge 35-0. They're loving this 35-0.
Exactly. Like Maryville, 42-0. They're liking 35-0.
Oh, yeah. Brentwood, they lost to Catholic 31-13, lost to Henry County. In round one, they beat McGavick 38-6, and then round two beat Independence 20-13.
Independence is really good.
They are. I've seen, you know, when I was scrolling through Coach T, you know, Independence came up here and there. But I will say, Tommy, I'm going to agree with you. Ravenwood is going to be the team I go for.
Oh yeah, the Ravenwood Raptors will beat the Bruins tonight. So we disagreed on one out of those 6. So we're going to take a quick break. If you fell asleep, please wake up.
Please wake up.
We got 6 more games, and some of these were a little one-sided, the first 6.
Yeah.
These next 6, I'm guaranteeing you, flip a coin.
Either way.
Because we don't know.
Heads or tails.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for the last 6.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Welcome back to 91.1 WKCS FM, and we've got our last 6 games of this pick'em section. Jumping right into it, we're at 6A, the Blackman Blazers. Or Blaze, sorry, at O. They traveled to the undefeated Oakland Patriots. The Blazers played a tough schedule this year. They lost to teams like Alcoa, Ravenwood, Independence, Riverdale, and this Oakland team. They did lose to the Patriots 40-0 in week 7. They do have the third and final Mr. Football finalist, Connor Murphy, who's a menace on the defensive side of the ball, but he's going to be tasked with stopping that high-powered Oakland offense. The Patriots have won 25 games in a row. They captured the 6A state title last year. They've averaged an even 51 points over their 12 games and surrendered just a little bit over a touchdown a game, 7.7 points a game. No team has ever scored 20 points against this team this season. They had, I'm not going to say a little, I'm going to say a hiccup last week. They beat Mount Juliet 24-14. Maybe they overlooked them. I really don't know. But I think they're going to punish the Blaze this week. and they're looking for Maryville. Like, Maryville's looking for them. They're looking for Maryville, and Maryville's going to take care of business. Oakland's going to take care of business. Huge, huge semifinal matchup next week. Jackson, who do you have?
Yeah, Tommy, I agree with you. I think Oakland's just going to completely put it on Blackman again. You know, Oakland beat Riverdale. I wanted to put this on here. It's because it's Riverdale. Beat Riverdale 31-14 on a MyTV 30 Friday night rival.
Okay, TV game.
They yeah, some so it's a big TV game. So I think that, and I think that's why the score was 31-14. If you ask me, because it's on TV. You know, TV Nerds. Games are a lot of pressure on the players. So, but yeah, you know. Round one, they beat Lebanon 34-0. Round two, they beat Mount Juliet 24-14. And then one of their biggest games that I've seen on here is they beat Kenwood 86-14.
I saw that too. And I then was like, wow,
Coffee County 80-60. I mean, putting up 80 points is reminding me back of the Falcon three-peat days where we put 80 on like Powell or Austin's Central or Austin's. But I mean, honestly, you know, this Oakland team is just going to be something. Like you said, they're going to be looking for Maryville coming in really hot.
No doubt. We're going to transition into the Division II private classification. Innsworth 8-3 travels to Macaulay. Innsworth upset Macaulay in week 11 and upset Briarcrest last week. They played a brutal, brutal schedule, and they've either lost close or they've won close, and this one could go either way. Macaulay handled Christian Brothers last week 28-6. Innsworth is the only Tennessee team that they've lost to. The other was a Clearwater Academy team out of Florida, who top 25 in the state in Florida. That's really good. This could go either way. I think just because Innsworth beat them week 11, that's a short turnaround. It's at Macaulay. I think Macaulay gets some revenge on Innsworth. Give me Macaulay.
Tommy, dude, I'm right there with you. We've talked about Macaulay in this private division, and we've talked about it time and time again when we're talking about Catholic or Brentwood Academy or Brentwood. Macaulay's a dominant team in that division. Mm-hmm. You know, the Class 3A private division, they're a dominant team. Innsworth, dominant team. Innsworth lost to Baylor 24-14, lost to NBA 24-14. They're loving to lose 24-14 here. Right. They beat Macaulay, like you said, 33-29. They lost to Brentwood Academy 30-20. And here's something that, you know, that really like struck me is they beat an Ohio team 30-0.
They got some good football up there.
So I think they travel. I think Ohio traveled to us. Uh-huh. But 30-0. So Ohio pretty much just traveled to get it put on them. And then so I don't really understand the how the playoffs work in the private division, but it's like round one is like round two pretty much.
Yeah, like they didn't like when we played Ray County, they didn't play. Last week was like their first round. This is their semifinal, and they don't play again until the championship. Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know.
Well, actually, I take that back. I think I was right. This is the semifinal for both of the teams, and then like the championship is like December 2nd.
Yeah,
it's
like
weird.
Round one. So I put on here round one and two. They beat Briarcrest Christian 35-13.
And Briarcrest was like 10-1, 11-1. Yeah. Briarcrest was really good.
Oh yeah, but you know Macaulay, like we talked about, you know big people, like big team.
They got an Auburn commit. I saw.
Exactly.
Yeah, Power Five.
And then you know like you said they lost to a Florida team 18-8, and that Florida team was like you said top 25 in the state. Some big dogs. They beat Brentwood Academy 28-23. They beat Catholic 56-19. Beat Baylor 35-28. And round one and two, I'm just going to say round one and two, they beat, I think that's Christian Brother High, 28-6. I mean, you look at it, I think Macaulay's going to be is going to win. It's at Macaulay, like you said. I think Macaulay's going to – it's going to be a close game, but I have to agree with you. Macaulay's going to put it on them.
Yeah, you said Innsworth beat them 33-29. I think it'll be within a touchdown, no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Macaulay will pull out, and they will they're going to be in the state title game. If my memory serves me correctly, please correct me on that. I'm pretty sure that whoever wins this game is going to play – I think it's like MBA and Memphis University School, like in Cookeville on December
11th. MBA is – good.
Yeah, we underestimated them last
week. We did.
And they up like it's
upset
weird.
Baylor.
Yeah. It's a bunch of craziness in the Division II.
Tennessee just has some. We're better than Texas. You can quote me.
I mean,
in football,
on jaw. You know what I mean? Like, that's facts, dude. Like, you're so right about that. But we're gonna move down to 3A, Red Bank, 10-1. The Lions, they travel to the 12-0 Loudoun Redskins. The Lions, they fell to the Redskins 24-7 in Week 11, for the region title. However, since that loss, they've had the tougher road. Their last game they played Upperman, the Bees, who were 10-2. They were probably the other, like, those three teams, other than Alcoa, were like some of the best teams in 3A. It's Red Bank, Loudoun, Upperman, and then Alcoa, which these two teams will have to play Alcoa or Austin East, probably Alcoa, because Austin East is not going to win. But so Red Bank has had the tougher road. Loudon's kind of coasted through these first two games. I said I picked McCauley over Ensworth because Ensworth beat him in Week 11. Loudon beat Red Bank in week 11, but they did dominate Red Bank. I think Loudon is going to do the exact same. And unfortunately, they'll play Alcoa next week, and their season will come to an end. But just a great team. The great season they had over at Loudon this year. Give me the Redskins.
Tommy, I'm going to have to agree with you again.
Dang
it. I mean, but you look at it. It wasn't a close game. 24-7 against Red Bank. And then, you know, round one, they beat York Institute, which I looked at York Institute, and they're not bad.
No.
They beat them 49-14. And then round two, they beat Smith County 41-7. You know, if you're making teams, say, in the single digits, in the playoffs, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Red Bank, round one, they beat Sequatchie County 21-0, and then round two they beat Upperman 21-14. But I'm gonna agree with you, Tommy. Loudon, but sadly this Loudon team's gonna have to face an Alcoa team who is just gonna dominate because it's Alcoa. Yeah, so
no doubt. And we're gonna move up to one classification in 4A. Rematch from I believe week nine. Greenville 10-2 at Elizabethton. The Devils eliminated Anderson County for the third straight year last week at Anderson County. It was on TV. I'm pretty sure I picked Greenville when these two teams played in Week 9, and I think I was wrong. And then I picked Anderson County last week, and Greenville won. So I'm like, I'm 0-2 when we've had Greenville on here. I'm tired of it, okay? I'm tired of being 0-2. It's at Elizabethton. Elizabethton beat them 24-21. But like you said, it was 21-7, I believe, Greenville, the entire game, and Elizabethan came back and beat them for the first time since 2009. The Green Devils get revenge against the Cyclones. Jackson, judging by your face, you also pick Greenville.
You know what? I'm gonna pick Elizabethan here. Elizabethan, even though Greenville just played outstandingly against Elizabethan, you know, midseason, we were at the Campbell County game. Mm-hmm. That's the one, because I remember it was they said that Campbell County, it's the worst 50 steps in Campbell County, and I remember that because it was the first game I actually got to broadcast live. So I remember it. I'll always remember that day, and I was looking for Greenville and Elizabethan
that was a big
the
game.
Whole time, and Greenville just leading and leading and leading and losing. So, you know, I'm kind of forced to pick Elizabethan here so we can have some kind of diversity. But I want to say, you know, they beat all of the Sullivans, Elizabethan has.
Sullivan, yeah.
East, north, south, south, west.
Purple. Yeah,
it's never eat soggy waffles. Beat all of them.
Exactly.
The only close games were Greenville and Science Hill. Elizabethan beat Science Hill 28-20. You know, moving over to Greenville. Week one, almost beat Powell. Greenville
right.
did,
yeah.
Which is why I wanted to pick them so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they 19-12 against Powell.
Yeah,
and here's the crazy thing: we beat Greenville in a scrimmage by 1 point. But
so we're. I mean, I was
basically we could have beat Powell.
I was gonna say I meant to say this, but I forgot. Six of the 10 teams that we played in the regular season still in the playoffs: Austin East, Maryville, Powell, West. Oh, give me some South Doyle and Central.
I would just like to say this: we play
Maryville.
We play them every year. Now I'll say this because it's the truth: they didn't want to catch us when we had our three-peat team.
No cap.
They didn't want to catch us, and because so as soon as we lost our three-peat team,
they're like, "We'll play you."
They're like, "Okay, we'll play you." Yeah, we'll play you now.
We'll play you.
But guess what?
Coach Black, he will keep – it's good for us to play us. It's good for us to play Maryville because Maryville's a top team, and it shows us what a true competitor is. And honestly, to me, it was a moral victory. We did okay. You know, I always love traveling to Maryville. They're some of the nicest people over there.
They really are.
You know, they have a away press box. We were the first people to use that.
That's pretty cool.
It was a nice press box. It had lights. It had Wi-Fi. It had electricity. It was
Wi-Fi
amazing.
In the away press box?
It was amazing.
Wow.
So, you know, shout out to Maryville. Y'all are great. You all are probably the best team in Tennessee. Just throwing that out there. Behind the Fulton Falcons, obviously.
No doubt.
But, honestly, as much as I want to pick Greenville, I'm not going to. I'm gonna pick Elizabethan.
I already know if Elizabethan loses, I'm not gonna hear the end of that one because the way he was looking at me, he was like, "You."
I had my head down. Like as soon as he said Greenville is gonna come back with an upset, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, I knew he was gonna."
I would never be able to do that because we've only disagreed on one game and. That's the sports analyst in Jackson. The sports analyst would still pick Greenville because that's who he would go with.
Mm-hmm.
That's just Jackson is a showman. Jackson is an entertainer, and he's trying to entertain all the listeners because we're probably going to disagree on these next two games. If I had to guess,
maybe. But we're tied right now with because I went 9-3. But I do want to say that it just. We know who I wanted to pick, Greenville. I'm not. I'll probably let Tommy hear it if Elizabethan loses.
You will. There's no problem.
But it won't be as bad as Mac when Science Hill beat Dobbins Bennett.
Yes.
But I will say this: Elizabethan, they've beat Greenville once. I think they can do it again. So give me Elizabethan.
You say that with sadness. Moving into our 11th game, we're going to move up one classification again to 5A. The Central Bobcats, 10-2, they travel to South Knoxville, and they take on South Doyle, 9-3. The Bobcats lost their 21-game winning streak to the Cherokees in Week 10, 38-10. Elijah Young ran all over them. They put him at QB because it was a monsoon out there,
gosh.
And they beat him by 28. Elijah Young, this is not like me just, listen here, like remember this. Elijah Young is going to win Mr. Football in 5A.
Oh, yeah.
2,047 rushing yards, 42 total TDs. You can't really stop him. You just got to try to limit him to what he does. Also, they got Mason Brang back.
Yeah.
Their quarterback came back last week. I didn't get to see the game, but I assume he was a little rusty to start out. But as the game went on, he probably found his groove a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But however, Central, they lost their last two regular season games. They've won their last two. They did blow out Gibbs, who we thought it was going to stay close, but
we knew it wasn't going to happen.
We knew Central was going to win, but we kind of knew that was sort of a fluke. No mm-hmm. offense to Gibbs. But Central, they're going to avenge their loss from Week 10. Give me the Bobcats.
Okay, my jaw dropped when he said that. So I'm going the complete opposite. South Doyle, they've got their quarterback back. Smacked him with Elijah Young.
Doesn't matter.
They smacked Central with Elijah Young in, and as a quarterback.
Doesn't matter.
Quarterback. So they've got their starting quarterback back, who is gonna completely just let Elijah Young eat. And let me tell you, but the only thing that makes me want to never pick South Doyle
Seymour.
Is they lost to Seymour 7-3. I mean, honestly, lost to Anderson County 31-22, barely lost to Powell 15-12. Round one, they beat Cherokee 41-3. Round two, they beat Daniel Boone 28-17. So I'm going to pick South Doyle, but we'll look at Central here. They're the defending 5A state champs. They lost to Gibbs 28-17 in regular season. Lost to South Doyle 38-10. And Tommy called it. South Doyle ended their lovely winning streak that I was just honestly happy to hear was ended because their heads were just
boosted. That was probably the best thing to ever happen to them was to lose those two games because it brought them back down to earth. I feel like they were like ranked number one in 5A.
But here's the thing is you got to look at who they played.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you can get your head busted all the way up, but you have to look. You played Cleveland, Carter. I mean, you got to look at who you play. Barely beat Fulton by uno point, but that's just because the refs don't know what they're doing. Sorry, Papa, if you're listening. I know, but sorry.
Papa, get us some better refs.
Yeah.
Papa, please.
Round one, just they kidding. Beat Davy Crockett, or David Crockett, 28 or 24-14. Round two, beat Gibbs 49-7. So, yeah. But I'm going to say South Doyle is going to beat them by, let's see, what do I want the overkill to be?
Well, it's not going
to
matter because it's not going
to 49-7. I think I'll go with the Gibbs score.
49-7?
No, I'll give them, I'll give it 33-20.
You're so wrong. You're, I'm not. Okay.
I went 9-3 last time, and I'm going to go 12-0 this time.
And just like the Central South Doyle game, just like the Central Gibbs game, it was a fluke. They proved us wrong, or they proved Gibbs wrong. They're going to prove South Doyle wrong. They're going to beat the Cherokees. They're going to play Powell next week, and that's going to be a dandy. Either way, I mean.
You know in the back of your head that you are picking the wrong team, but I am perfectly fine with it because it's going to result into you getting a pie to the face.
Anyway, we're going to stay in 5A. This is our game of the week. If we had our headgear and you could see us, we'd be getting either a Rebel head or a Panther head. It's our game of the week, like it's everyone else's game of the week. It's on TV. Powell won the overtime thriller 21-20 in week 9 after West elected to go for 2 after scoring their first touchdown in overtime and were stopped short. Everything in my mind is telling me to pick Powell. They're the favorite. They'll win handily. But I really don't know. Powell, they were acquitted of the allegations brought forth by the TSSAA for possible recruiting violations. They don't. I assume they don't have any other distractions. But if you heard about what happened over at Powell, they took down the Clark Duncan's name on the athletic facility. So it's just a lot of drama going on over there at Powell. So they get rid of one stressor. They add another that's self-inflicted. I really don't know. They've hit their stride in the playoffs, and they're ready for this heavyweight matchup tonight. This should be just a dandy. And for that reason, Jackson, who do you have?
Alrighty, so when it was Powell and West during the regular season, I was back and forth. It was West, or no, it was Powell all week.
Yep.
And then I switched it to West, but I just, it's so hard. Like, and me and Tommy were talking about this off air, is that this is going to be the hardest game to call.
Yeah.
Because this could literally go either way.
True statement.
But I'm going to pick the Panthers on this one. I might regret this, but
did you just say you were going to pick West before
did.
We went?
I did. I said I was going to pick West, but then like I've sat here and
he
thought
literally
about
said
it.
he said I've gone back and forth. I'm picking West. Yep. What in the world?
Yeah, I mean,
this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You went 9-3 last week? 9-3?
Yeah.
You said you're going to pick anyway.
But you know, I think it's going to be a really close game. I think it's going to be by a field goal. But you know, round 1, Powell beat Lenoir City 60-14. Round 2, beat Ray County, who beat the Falcons in round 1, 34-14. West, round 1, Walker Valley, they beat Walker Valley 45-7. Round 2, beat Oak Ridge 34-14. Your Powell Panthers are going to win by 3 points.
Sorry, I breathe into the mic. Don't drop your pencil and say it's a mic. Hear me out, Jackson. Powell is the favorite. Everything in my head, in my body is telling me to pick Powell, but I can't. I can't. West has had a bad taste in their mouth since that week 9 loss. Their defense has played so good. You said you're not sold on their defense. I am
because
they snapped my fibula, and they're really good, and hey, they're physical, and they're gonna get after you. But hear me out, Jackson. The Rebels, they go to Scarborough Stadium, just off Emory Road, and they're gonna upset the 5A favorites, and they're gonna move on, and they're gonna play either South Doyle or Central next week. Give me the Rebels, Jackson. Give me the Rebels. So that's going to wrap up our round 3 pick'em. We disagreed on 4 games. I'm going to read them back to you so that way you can have an idea of just what's going on here. I picked Whitehaven. He picked Houston. I picked Greenville. He also, no, just kidding. He was going to pick Greenville. He was going to pick Greenville. I picked Greenville. He was going to pick Greenville. He picks Elizabethton. So I picked Greenville. He's got Elizabethton. I pick Central, defending 5A state champs. They're going to beat South Doyle because he has South Doyle. This game, I have West, and he has Powell. Those are our 12 games. We've disagreed on four. We disagreed on three last week. We disagreed on four. I'm feeling a solid 12-0, Jackson. I think you're going to go about 3-9. So just go ahead and chalk them up.
If I go 3-9, then you're not going 12-0 because we picked some of the same. So
no.
I will say this to my Halls Devils. I love y'all.
What?
Sucks that you're not in the playoffs anymore.
Get out of here.
But let's say this. Pal Panthers, Baylor, you're going to smack them by 3 points. But I will say this, Tommy, I'm looking forward into 2 weeks where I'm just going to pie you in the face with a lot of just force.
See,
in my
you're getting all worked up. I don't have to say anything. I just got to let my picks do the talking.
Who went 9-3 last time?
Who went 6-6 last week?
Tommy's what? Who went 9-3?
Are you beating me?
We're tied.
Are you exactly?
We're tied.
Exactly.
We're tied.
So go ahead and hop off.
I just want to say this though, love y'all. I do. I really do. But I've pointed my statement here, and I'm going to win.
Mic drop.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you, and we hope that you do enjoy this as much as we do, because. We're just talking into a microphone, but we hope there's people on the other side listening to it, maybe on their radio or on their phone in podcast form. So we really appreciate you. We appreciate Mr. Mays for letting us do this. Jackson is injured. He's hit his hand on a microphone, so I'm going to sign this one off. But from Jackson and I here in the studio, thank you for listening. Thank you for hopefully caring about our podcast and our goals and aspirations. We'll see you next week.